Thank you for being here this morning on Father's Day. We're going to have some fun here. Here in just about 15 minutes, maybe less, we're going to do a Q&A section of the service. So where we can ask some questions. And today's going to be fun because I'm going to have my mom come up here. Her name's Nancy, if you don't know her. Many of you do. There's a few that might not. But she's going to come up here, do some Q&A. And Aaron's going to come up also and ask the questions. But you can participate. Right now you can actually text in a question as I'm speaking, and then even as we're doing the Q&A, you can text in a question as well. Aaron will have that have the app on her phone, so you can text that your question to that number on the screen, and then we'll get to those, and hopefully this will be fun. Yeah, hopefully it'll be good. And let me just say this too. Today's topic, that what we're doing is we're talking through a series called A Little Bit of Wisdom, and we're going through some of life's really pivotal topics, and we're using the book of Proverbs to be the foundation of, you know, of wisdom on these topics. So today we're talking about parenting. So I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. I guess me telling you that in the beginning would have made a lot more sense why I'm bringing my mom on stage. And also, she's a preacher, but besides that. Next week, though, I want to make sure you're here, because next week we're going to be talking about emotions and how to navigate and handle emotions, okay? And just to be honest, you're going to hear that from a very emotional person. I'm talking about myself. So it's going to be, I just think it's going to be good. Got some things to share, and if you need help in that area, which I would say we all do, or if you have friends that need help, man, bring them to church, because we're going to be talking about emotions and how to navigate those and what the Word might say. So, let's talk about parenting. You know, I've found so far, and my kids are only 8, and my daughter's 8, and my son is 7. So far, raising a child has seems to be the most difficult task one could do. I don't know. I'm not that far into it, but so far, it's pretty daunting to think about that what I do and how I raise my child, my actions and how I raise them will have something to do, not everything, but will have something to do with, you know, when I release them to the wild, how they'll either thrive or maybe not. And you know, that's a heavy responsibility for a parent to think about. You know, but then when you think about the fact that it's not just you and I raising kids, but together we're actually raising up the future of the world, right? That's even a bigger thing to think about, and a little bit more daunting. But the good news is that as a Christian, we have foundational truths that come from an ancient place, come from the creator of the world, and these truths have been battle-tested. These aren't pop culture books on parenting, but they have lasted through the ages, and we can depend on the Word to help us. Now, let me say this. Parenting, sometimes you can assume too great of a responsibility. It's your responsibility to parent well and to try to instill the right values and to try to lead them to serve the Lord and to do your best, but every single child is different. I've seen parents that raise children and they function the same. They operate, they're the same parent, but one child, their journey is a lot tougher than maybe the other child. So I don't want us to be terrified in that, you know, we've messed up our kids or all of that, because, you know, their kids are just different. They're just different. But I believe we do have a huge role to play in the life of our children. So, you know, my daughter Naomi, is 8. And she is, it's amazing how every child is, they're just so different and unique. And maybe that's some of the complexity of parenting, is that the same thing doesn't work with each child. But my daughter is very creative. Like this morning, she got up and painted me something, and then, you know, gave it to me for Father's Day. And then She writes poems, and will say them to us. And you know, she has this just general real curiosity about things. Just wants to. She's thinking about how things work, and then she's very hard-headed, but with that, she's extremely convincing too. Like she's convincing, guys. Yesterday, I almost gave her $14 to buy 3 CDs. I'm like, none of this makes sense. First of all, I don't have cash. Second of all, what are you going to do with the cash? She's like, I'll give it to mommy and mommy will buy it. But that's not, no, it's on mom's phone. We got to order it. It's like, right, I'll give mommy the money and I'm going to use the money to, I'm like, I don't want to try to explain credit cards. But besides that, we don't even have a CD player. But she's like, I have a karaoke machine and it'll play in there. I was like, all right, fine. But she's convincing. And then my son, Boston, who's 7, he is, the way to describe him would be adventure seeking. He's looking for the next adventure. What is life got for me today? That's his outlook right now. It's such a, I love it. He's just seeking adventure. The other day he was in our bed and he, you know, came to our bed at some point at night and he just wakes up with such like shock, like, but hope. Like he literally wakes up like, yes, it's another day. I get to do this again, you know? And he just runs out of bed and just starts playing. And I'm like, oh, I wish I felt like that every day. But but he's an adventure seeker. Can I show you, is it all right if we just kind of have a little bit of fun on Father's Day? We're going to get into some good stuff, but I want to show you this video because I was so proud of my son. He's like the life of the party. I can't tell you how many times that he gets so excited or he'll be in a group and they'll be playing some game and he'll just yell, like release this yell at the top of his lungs, like, yeah, you know, he's the kid that does that. But so he's the life of the party oftentimes. Look at this video. This is one of the most proud moments I've had as a dad. This is from last week at Youth America at camp. He was a shining star. Take a look at this in front of hundreds of kids. Oh my gosh, every time I'm so shocked. And they tell me those are dance moves. I guess that's what we do now. But anyways, every child is unique. And you know, our job really is to, as a parent, I don't know what season you're in with as it comes to being. How many of you in here are parents? Maybe let me. And then how many of you maybe want to one day want to be a parent possibly? Okay. You know, I don't know what season your child is in, you know, whether they're small or a little bit bigger, maybe medium-sized like mine, or whether they're large and out of the house, or out of the house and then maybe they're back in the house, right? And then I don't know what season of life you're in, but I think I've observed that the job of a parent never quite stops, never stops, keeps going. Every service, I've seen a few parents that have looked at me like, I stopped. After 18, I was, see ya, you know. But, you know, I want to just talk about a couple of things that are very critical that we as parents ought to try and establish in our kids' lives and give them these foundations. That's what really what we're trying to do here is to give our children some kind of foundation that would look more like rocks to stand on rather than sand. And the way that we give them solid foundation is pulling from the truth that's in the Word of God, that is battle-tested truths that that we can give them, that's not just made of sand, not just made of opinion or, you know, our own experience, which some of that is good, but we want to give them the truth. And so from the book of Proverbs, really the whole book of Proverbs is a parenting book, if you will, for all ages. It's an instruction manual, really, for life. And so we can find so much truth in the book of Proverbs. And the first thing I want to say that we need to really teach our children that's going to set them up to live the best kind of life possible, the first thing from the book of Proverbs is to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, I think verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning, if we stand a chance at understanding anything about how the world works or our place in it, it's got to begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, fear, we're not talking about being afraid of God here. We're talking about having an awe and a sense of respect about the reality of God and all the power that's within Him and our relationship to Him, right? We want to teach this to our kids. Again, we want to teach them the gospel and the truth about God so that they could respond, so that they could be saved. But also, we need to tell them the truth about the way things are. Because when we teach them about God and the ways of God, what we're really doing is we're giving them a biblical worldview. I mean, there's many different ways to see the world, but I believe as Christians, it's our responsibility to give them the world, to teach them to see the world the way God sees the world. You know, when I grew up, I remember I knew that I was supposed to love everybody. Why? Because God loves everybody. And I was a kid, but I had already reasoned that everyone is deserving of my love because God loves everyone. And the very idea that we're all of equal value comes from a Christian worldview, the reality of all of us being made in God's image, so not any of us are less valuable than the other. And right, that claim is abstract and worth nothing unless it's founded and rooted in a true God that has more authority than any of us that we can stand on and begin to live out our lives seeing things from the way God sees things. Because if we don't base that claim in something greater than us, then really, I can begin to choose how valuable you are or not valuable. And that's when we see societies really fall into pits, is when we aren't being honest about the way that God sees the world. That everyone has equal value, and that I don't get to choose who's worthy of life and who's not worthy of life. But God has said that we're all created in His image. Therefore, it's foundational truths like that that you'll find throughout the Bible that will cause them to live out their life in the best way because it's given to us from the Creator of the world. You know, the Christian worldview is to look at the world and look at other people as you should take the role of a servant. You should be others focused. You know, the trajectory of a Christian is that of a selfless person that denies violence, that's forgiving. These are all worldviews within a Christian perspective. Because it's the right way to live, I believe. But when you teach them to fear the Lord, this is when knowledge, and this is when the world begins to make sense. Have you ever looked out at the world and just said, that is complete nonsense? Like what they're doing right now or what that institution or whatever it might be, what's happening is total nonsense. And things turn into nonsense when it's not grounded in the fact and the fear of the Lord. The foundational structure of knowing that who God is, having a healthy fear of God. And here's what I'll say too before we get into this Q&A, is that some of you have young adult kids, and I want to say this to hopefully encourage some of you, is that, you know, some people would say, you know, some outsiders of Christianity say, you know, don't bring your kids to church, don't indoctrinate them in that, it's going to, you know, it's going to mess with them and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was that kid, and I came to children's church every week, and I was told that God loves me, and that I should love others, and that God has a plan for my life, and that, you know, I was told all kinds of, I was indoctrinated in those things. And what it actually did for me is I believe as a child, I was set in this kind of structure of beliefs, this house maybe that I was raised in of beliefs. And yes, they were taught to me, but as a child, I remember knowing that God loved me. So if nobody liked me, there was still God who loved me. I mean, I remember knowing these things. Now, you grow up, and every young Christian kid goes through this season where they begin to look at these truths or these beliefs that they have, and they realize that they've been taught these things, and they want to figure them out for themselves. But having the structure of belief for me was not at all a negative thing. It was actually, when I went through that season of testing it and going through it, it's like this structure, this house, I had something that safeguarded me through my young years, and now I began to just kind of press on these walls to see if they're real. Maybe get outside and, you know, look a little bit or dig a little bit, and maybe I would change my mind a little bit about something. But it's for me, it was, I just have this image of my head as a child. I was given these beliefs, and then when I went through that age of testing it out and maybe unbelieving or not really or trying to figure it out, it's like that process made the structure around me even more solid and real because I felt it for myself. And I don't know what you'd call it, that journey of a young person, for some people, for some Christian young people, it takes longer than others. And so I believe that if you have a young adult that is trying to really figure out what they believe, that that's a good thing. And that I believe with you that through this process, they'll come to more solid ground and discovering things for themselves, but it will end up good. But let me tell you, if you're a parent, I cannot stress how important it is to get your kids in children's church. I mean, to get them into children's church. Now, I know that maybe coming every week is you know, not the easiest thing to do. We've got lots of stuff going on. But for the sake of your child being given solid rock truths that they're taught, that's worth coming every single week. And same thing in youth ministry in those teenage years. It's so critical and important to be around this and the things of God. So that's all I'm going to say about parenting so far, because I want to get in this Q&A portion. Let's invite my mom, Nancy, and Aaron up on the stage. I want to give them a round of applause.
It's funny to hear you say Nancy up on stage.
Yeah, I know. When I say Nancy, I think I've said that word not many times in my life.
Yeah, Natalie only says it when she really wants my attention. So,
Nancy. Okay.
All right, we've got a lot of questions coming in, really great ones. A few kind of around this thing, so we'll start with this one. What are the most common mistakes that parents make in raising their kids?
Do you want me to start?
Yes, you can start.
Okay. I think one of the most common mistakes, and especially as your children age, as they get older, is establishing all of these rules and regulations and things that you do need to have boundaries, you do need to have rules, but establishing all these things and forgetting about the relationship part, that you have, they have to have that relationship with you, so they understand the rules, they understand the law, they understand what is, because it has to be tempered with grace and mercy, and that's where relationship builds that grace and mercy. So that's one of the most common mistakes, because rules without a relationship breeds rebellion. It just does. And you see it in teenagers all the time, that are, parents are trying to force them to do things and they don't have relationship with them. So.
What is it again?
I'm not serious. What are the most common mistakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's so like me.
I would say that that's a great one. Another one that I see, especially in parents maybe my age, or, you know, give or take 5 years younger or older, one of the things that I often see is, I don't know what the right word is, but maybe over-parenting, or maybe you could call it coddling, or making your kids too safe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, you know, we want our children to be safe, but at the same time, I just think it's a danger to not set your kid up for the real world that they're about to encounter.
Right.
That's more dangerous than the things you might think you're protecting them from, you know? I just see a lot of over-parenting, maybe coddling, and what we have to realize is we get so fearful of our children and their safety, but kids aren't like this glass, right? Like if I was to drop this glass, it might break. And I'm getting this idea from a book that I read, but they aren't like that glass. Children are more like an immune system, that your responsibility to them is to train them up. But how many know an immune system, the more that it's kept away from everything possibly dangerous, it never develops. And it never gets ready to encounter anything of a real threat. And then if it never develops and it actually does encounter something, then it'll just be, someone will be wiped out. So what you're trying to build with your young person, I would say, is not to keep them perfectly safe and sheltered, right? But it's also not to harden them in a way. It's to make them more resilient, to make them tougher and more able to bounce back. And so I would say, as a parent, your kid needs to hear no. They need to face consequences. They need to stumble and figure it out for themselves a few times. Because if not, I'm afraid that we're building very weak immune systems, because once they exit the protection of you, which hopefully they do, hopefully they're not someone who's 40 and still they're being, right? We don't want that. But we want kids who can stand up on their own two feet in the world. But the only way that you do that is to kind of challenge them in a way to where they'll be ready to take on what the world has to give them, and they'll be resilient. So I don't know. Hope that makes sense.
That's good. Got a lot of questions about discipline and parenting, as far as what happens, how do you agree on your parenting style? Is it okay to be different from your spouse with that parenting style?
Okay. Definitely, you need to, I think, be in agreement towards your trip. When you're going before your children, you need to be in agreement, pretty much united, about the way you're going to discipline. I don't know that Kirk and I always agreed on discipline, because he was a lot stronger than I was on a lot of things. I was more merciful and, whatever. So there was some, and, you know, it causes problems when you're not in agreement. So what could happen is that you could maybe decide to try one way or the other and see, you know, let's try it your way and we'll see how it works. And we'll see, not, you don't have to be snotty about it, you know, when you do that. But, you know, just, and come back and evaluate. Did that method work? No, it didn't. So we need to try something else. And I think as if you together also, if you learn together, if you read together books on parenting, if you study things, and you're doing it together, then you both learn things at the same time. I think what happens is one spouse reads a book and they want to do it this way because they understand something, and the other one doesn't want to read the book, and you know, and I'm not saying
that's never happened.
I'm not saying which one that would probably be, but you know, it's just you do have to learn new things. You have to learn how to parent. You really do. So,
I might, as we're talking about discipline, I might just read this scripture, Proverbs 3:11-12. Proverbs 3:11-12. It says, "My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights." What I've realized being a parent so far is that disciplining in a meaningful way, meaning discipline not just a reaction of something, but trying to take discipline as a moment to teach, that costs me something. You know, time, energy, you know, maybe I'm in the middle of a show or something. Okay, that didn't go over.
I don't want to.
But it costs us. It costs parents something. And there's times where we think that letting them off the hook is a good thing, which there's times to do that. But it's tempting to not follow through. I'll just say that it's tempting to not make them face the consequences that they know they were going to face if they did that. But what I have to realize in that moment is that for me to let them off the hook at that moment, is it really for them or is it more for me?
Right.
Am I just creating a nice fuzzy moment for them or is it really for me? Because if I'm actually looking at the long view of what's good for them, it actually is to face the consequences of their actions. You know, and it's difficult for me to enforce, but if I'm looking with a loving long view, that's the best way to love them, is to discipline and to make sure that they encounter that. But I don't know. We probably got a lot more.
Can I mention?
Yeah.
I know that along these lines, there's a book called Love and Logic, which was written by Foster Kline, who I think may have been rewritten. But it talks about how to do this, how to be able to let the consequences be the discipline and the parent be the support through the discipline. Does that make sense? But as a parent, you've got to make sure that the consequences are there, that you're not just letting them, like he was saying, just, you know, give up. But that's a great book to help you understand the why and the mechanisms of how to do that. So
that's good. A couple questions about teenagers. How do you get them to talk to you? And then if they don't want to go to church, do you just let them do their own thing? Do you make them go to church? And that kind of, I guess, really applies to all different ages of kids, the second one.
Okay, do you want to do the first one first or the second one? Teenagers, you don't have teenagers, so.
Yeah. I mean, I was one.
I know. And
yeah, go ahead.
And you were one that didn't like to talk about. We had to really press to get things out of you. Is that, what was the question?
How do you get them to talk to you? How do you get your teenager to talk to you?
You just stay with it. You continue to, you know, ask questions in a loving manner. Don't try to force them to talk. You have to be patient, but just open the door for them to.
Man, the teenage years are so complex. Gosh, yeah. From the parenting side of things, and obviously from the teenager side of things, they don't know what the heck's going on. But I would say one thing is to use all the help you can get.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying is because I haven't raised a teenager, but I have been the youth leader or youth pastor that was able to get through maybe when they were resistant to a parent. So I would say encouraging them to come to church, encouraging them to come to youth ministry is critical. But also, again, I think the relationship thing is huge. And that you know, if they're not going to talk about, just let's work on relationship and right. let's kind of crack that open when it becomes a little more natural. But maybe right. the church thing you can talk about.
Okay. Well, another thing about that, though, is that I know your dad, when you guys were teenagers, spent a lot of time with you on intentionally. He did dates with each one of you and built that relationship so that it would be there. So that
yeah, we went to the mall yeah. and the arcade and played Tekken 3. Like, for hours. Anyways,
yeah. keep going. So, okay, the church thing. I'm going to be real old school on this, and some of you may not agree, but if they're under your roof, they live in your house, then they need to be in church. That needs to be a standard that you set, right? Because I really feel like it's, as a parent, it's your responsibility to make sure that they have a relationship with God, to make sure that they're in an environment where they can learn how to hear God, how to know God's voice, how to pray, how to talk to God. I mean, you can teach them at home too, but church adds so much more to that. And I just think it's that responsibility, because when they get older, you want them to know how to hear God, right? You want them to know the Holy Spirit can lead them through the decisions, the critical decisions that they're making. So that's the most important thing. So as a parent, I just feel like it's your role to get them to church no matter what.
Yeah, and I'll just say that, just so you don't think that that's just some standard and we all just seem to obey and all that, you know. I mean, I am, as far as agreeable or disagreeable people, I am on the harsh end of disagreeable. And so being a teenager was rough for them, you know, with me. But I remember that being a standard, and it really was. Like, Dad would, you know, you're very welcome to go get a job, get an income, and get your own place. And you can set your own rules. And I remember leaving several times. I didn't make it much further than, you know, I really didn't want a job, so I'd eventually make my way back. But I'm just saying it was a standard that they were willing to keep, like, yeah. right down to the very end.
Right.
And most of the time we loved church, but if it came to that, Dad's on the disagreeable end of the scale too. So
a lot alike.
But anyways.
All right. We've got a few variety of kind of relationships coming with this one, but how do you go about mending a parent-child relationship? We've had some children asking about their parents and parents with kids.
Mending when you're older?
Just mending like a broken. Yeah, it seems like what some young adults may be asking about a parent or...
We can kind of be a little bit quicker about this one. So, because, I mean, I don't know. I haven't encountered that. Let's see, what do I want to say? I'll say that, you know, your expectations have to be honest.
Yeah.
With a parent that you know, if you go into it thinking that you're going to get what you've always missed, you're probably not going to get that.
Right.
You'd get a relationship, but your expectations have to be real and honest, and you may have to step up and be the leader in mm-hmm. the mending process and even in the forgiving, even though it should be their role. You know, if you want a relationship badly, then you could have to be the leader in that role. But
it's good.
Anything else?
I think that's kind of tight on time, but is there anything else you guys want to?
Why don't you talk about that social media thing? That was really good.
With the keyboards. I'll talk about social media with a nice spiritual soundtrack. Everybody good?
Yeah.
You're alive out there? Okay. I would say with social media that the point is that we have to pay attention to the new challenges that each generation faces. And I think technology came in like a wave and we didn't know what to do with it. But I think my prayer is that parents, again, around my age and even younger, would wake up to how technology and social media has grossly underserved us, and has made us worse off in a lot of areas. And I pray that even though it's the norm, parents of young children would have the courage to set new standards and set a new standard for culture, because you cannot convince me that giving an elementary age kid or even a middle schooler, sometimes younger, I see this, you can't convince me that giving them a social media app in which they're supposed to display themselves to the whole world to see whether or not the world likes them, right? And to see how much the world likes them versus the kid next to them. We know how damaging it is to us, how much comparison it fosters. Can you imagine the explosiveness that happens inside an elementary age kid or even a middle schooler? My prayer is that we would wise up and we would set a new trend. You know, I think that there's an age where young people need to learn how to use it, because it just is the way that the world functions now. But I don't think that age is anything younger than probably middle school. And what I'm praying is that by the day that my kids enter middle school, that they wouldn't be the oddball out with, you know, the one parent that thinks social media isn't healthy for them. But I really am praying for a surge of parents who would wake up and have the courage to hold off and say no to a 12-year-old about social media. So when they get in middle school, hopefully it's half the class, you know, or maybe more that don't have it, because it'd be very difficult just to have one kid and, you know, all the peer pressure with it. But I just think we're at a critical place in time, and we want to do right to the next generation. And this is one of those areas that we got to wise up, because it can be extremely damaging, especially to young girls. So that's what I would say about technology and social media. And remember, they're just 12. You can say no. And with that note, let me pray over you guys. Can we all stand up together? It's all right? You guys good? Probably ready for lunch. Celebrate Father's Day. Hey, let me pray over you guys. I pray over parents first. Father, we thank you so much for every parent in this room. I thank you, God, that you are, God, that you're speaking to them, and that you would give them the courage to do the hard things when necessary. That God, you'd give them, that you would lead them. Father, that you would help them realize that they have an advocate and a supporter in you, God, and the Holy Spirit, that you can speak to us. God, give them wisdom. God, I speak a blessing over their family, that they and potentially their marriage and then their children would be blessed in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for those that are wanting to be parents one day, that God, that you would be faithful to them, and that as they're going through this journey, that they would come across the right path and the right person, and God, that their children would be blessed, that you'd reward them with that. If they have that desire, God, we pray for them that they'd have families that would be blessed. So God, we just speak that over each person in here, that they'd be strengthened and encouraged, and God would have the courage again to do what's necessary, to do the right thing even when it's hard. So God, we love you so much and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's sing together. Let's end by singing.